Sutra. Inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva said to the Buddha, World Honored One, how does Guanshuryin Bodhisattva roam through this Saha world? How does he speak the Dharma for living beings? How does he carry out this work with the power of expedience? Commentary. Inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva said to the Buddha, World Honored One, how does Guanshuryin Bodhisattva roam through this Saha world? Saha is a Sanskrit word which means worthy of being endured. We say worthy because although this world is filled with suffering, living beings find it worthy of being endured. It's not easy to bear this pain. There is so much suffering in the Saha world. How can Guanshuryin Bodhisattva teach and transform living beings here? How does he speak the Dharma for living beings? How does he carry out this work with the power of expedience? Sutra. The Buddha told inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva, Good man, if living beings in this land must be saved by means of someone in the body of a Buddha, Guanshuryin Bodhisattva will manifest in the body of a Buddha and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a Pratyeka Buddha, he will manifest in the body of a Pratyeka Buddha and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a hearer, he will manifest in the body of a hearer and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of the Brahma King, he will manifest in the body of the Brahma King and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of Shakra, he will manifest in the body of Shakra and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of the God of Sovereignty, he will manifest in the body of the God of Sovereignty and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of the great God of Sovereignty, he will manifest in the body of the great God of Sovereignty and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a great heavenly general, he will manifest in the body of a great heavenly general and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of Vaishravana, he will manifest in the body of Vaishravana and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a minor king, he will manifest in the body of a minor king and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of an elder, he will manifest in the body of an elder and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a layman, he will manifest in the body of a layman and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a minister of state, he will manifest in the body of a minister of state and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a Brahmin, he will manifest in the body of a Brahmin and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a bhikshu, bhikshuni, upasaka, or upasika, he will manifest in the body of a bhikshu, bhikshuni, upasaka, or upasika, and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of the wife of an elder, a layman, of a minister of state, or of a Brahmin, he will manifest in a wife's body and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a pure youth or a pure maiden, he will manifest in the body of a pure youth or a pure maiden and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a heavenly dragon, Yaksha, Gandharva, Asura, Garuda, Kinnara, Mahuraga, human or non-human, and so forth, he will manifest in such a body and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a Vajra-wielding spirit, he will manifest in the body of a Vajra-wielding spirit and speak Dharma for them. Commentary. The Buddha told inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva, "Good man, if living beings in this land, in the 3,000 great thousand world system, must be saved by means of someone in the body of a Buddha, Guanshuryin Bodhisattva will manifest in the body of a Buddha and speak Dharma for them." But Guanshuryin is a Bodhisattva. He isn't a Buddha. How can he manifest as a Buddha? Isn't that just being an imposter? You ask. No. Guanshuryin Bodhisattva became a Buddha limitless eons ago. His Buddha name was Proper Dharma Brightness, Thus Come One. After becoming a Buddha, he didn't forget about living beings. He came back to the world again, hiding the great and manifesting the small. He hid away the Buddha body and manifested a Bodhisattva body. Arhats may go from the small to the great, but Guanshuryin Bodhisattva went from the great, from the Buddha position, back to the Bodhisattva position. This is called putting the boat of compassion in reverse in order to save living beings. It's similar to putting the car in reverse. Guanshuryin Bodhisattva went backwards from Buddhahood into Bodhisattvahood in order to guide living beings. He hid the great and manifested the small. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a Pratyeka Buddha, he will manifest in the body of a Pratyeka Buddha and speak Dharma for them. Pratyeka Buddhas are those enlightened by conditions. When the Buddha is in the world, they are called those enlightened by conditions. When there is no Buddha in the world, they are called solitarily enlightened ones. When the Buddha is in the world, Pratyeka Buddhas cultivate the 12 causes and conditions and awaken to the way. They realize that everything is suffering, impermanent, empty, and without self. Knowing this, they put everything down and gain enlightenment. When there is no Buddha in the world, they also cultivate the 12 causes and conditions. In the spring, they watch the myriad flowers bloom. In the autumn, they watch the yellow leaves fall. Observing the unceasing changes of nature, they wake up to the four marks of conditioned existence: production, dwelling, decay, and emptiness, all of which are impermanent, and they gain enlightenment. Guanshuryin Bodhisattva observes the causal conditions of living beings. He has the penetration of the heavenly eye and the penetration of the heavenly ear. With the heavenly eye, he sees afar, and with the heavenly ear, he hears afar. If he sees a living being who should be saved by a Pratyeka Buddha, he manifests as a Pratyeka Buddha and speaks the Dharma of the 12 causes and conditions for them. Don't you know where your ignorance comes from? It comes from a single thought of non-enlightenment. Your one thought of non-enlightenment produced ignorance in the treasury of the Thus Come One. With ignorance, there was activity. He speaks the Dharma to that living being. Having heard the Dharma, this potential Pratyeka Buddha quickly gets enlightened. Then, Guanshuryin Bodhisattva causes him to bring forth the Bodhisattva resolve and go from the small towards the great. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a hearer, he will manifest in the body of a hearer and speak Dharma for them. The hearers are arhats. Those enlightened by conditions and hearers together make up the two vehicles. Hearers are those who awakened to the way when they heard the sound of the Buddha's voice as he taught the four holy truths. The four holy truths are suffering, accumulation, extinction, and the way. Shakyamuni Buddha turned the Dharma wheel of the four truths three times for the five bhikshus. After he gained enlightenment, the Buddha went to the deer park to speak the Dharma for the five bhikshus, including Ajnata Kaundinya. Ajnata Kaundinya and the others were not bhikshus in the beginning. They only became bhikshus after the Buddha spoke Dharma for them. The Buddha spoke the four truths in three ways. The first turning is called the demonstration turning. He said, 1. This is suffering. It is oppressive in nature. It's unbearable. There are three kinds of suffering: the suffering of suffering, the suffering of decay, and the suffering of process. There are also eight kinds of suffering: birth, old age, sickness, death, being separated from what you love, being joined to what you hate, not getting what you want, and the raging blaze of the five skandhas. Suffering bears down on people to the point that they never know a moment's peace. It pushes people so hard that they can't breathe. People are oppressed by all kinds of suffering. 2. This is accumulation. Its nature is to beckon. Accumulation refers to the amassing of afflictions. Where do afflictions come from? From suffering. One suffers to the point that one can't stand it, and then one gets angry. 3. This is extinction. Its nature is that it can be certified to. One can be certified to the bliss of still extinction, to the wonderful fruit of nirvana. 4. This is the way. Its nature is that it can be cultivated. Everyone can cultivate the way. There is not a single person who isn't qualified. Everyone can be certified to the principal substance of nirvana. The second tourney of the Four Truths is the certification tourney. 1. This is suffering. I already know it. 2. This is accumulation. I have already cut it off. 3. This is extinction. I have already been certified to it. 4. This is the way. I have already cultivated it. Shakyamuni Buddha then spoke the third turning of the Wheel of Four Truths, the exhortation turning. He said, 1. This is suffering. You should know it. 2. This is accumulation. You should cut it off. 3. This is extinction. You should certify to it. 4. This is the way. You should walk it. He turned the Dharma wheel of the Four Truths 3 times. When the 5 bhikshus heard it, they got enlightened. And since they were awakened by the Buddha's sound, they are called hearers. The hearers and those enlightened by conditions are called the two vehicles. Those of the two vehicles are just the small vehicle. What's small about them? What's great about the great vehicle? Basically, nothing is small and nothing is great. Great and small are based on the discriminating thoughts of living beings. Some minds are small and some are great. Originally, the mind extends to the ends of space and the Dharma realm. We, however, aren't able to use the original Thus Come One's treasury nature. Some can use a small part of it. Others can use a little more. Some can use the entire nature. Those who can use the entire nature are Buddhas. They have returned to the root and gone back to the source. Those who use a large part of it are Bodhisattvas. Bodhisattvas have great wisdom, and so they can utilize more of the treasures of their original home. Those of the small vehicle know less, use less, and so they are called the small vehicle. If Guanxuyin Bodhisattva meets a living being with the potential of a hearer, he manifests in the body of a hearer and speaks the Dharma to save them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a Brahma king, he will manifest in the body of a Brahma king and speak Dharma for them. The Brahma king is the king in the great Brahma heaven. Brahma means pure. He's very independent and free up there. If they must be saved by someone in the body of Shakra, he will manifest in the body of Shakra and speak Dharma for them. In the Amitabha Sutra, Shakra is referred to as Shakra Devanam Indra. There are actually many of them. Right now we know about the heaven of the 33 here in our world, where our Lord Shakra resides. Most people call him God. The 27th line of the Sharangama Mantra goes, Namo Yinto Loya. That's Shakra. He is known and worshipped as Almighty God by most people. This heavenly Lord possesses much authority and spiritual penetrations. However, he is still just a resident of heaven. and his life will come to an end. Chakra rules all of the gods up there and takes care of business in heaven. Guanxuyin Bodhisattva will use the body of Chakra to save living beings who can be crossed over in that way. He speaks the Dharma to them in the body of Chakra. It's easy to cross over living beings if you're the same as they are. They are then more likely to accept your teaching. It's easy to be friends with someone in your own line of work. Business people are friends with business people. Students with students. Buddhists with Buddhists. Gamblers with gamblers. And robbers with robbers. People seek out their own kind. Those of the same kind are called friends. To teach and transform various people, Guanxuyin Bodhisattva will manifest the same as them. For example, many of those who have come here to study the Buddha Dharma once studied with a certain professor. Perhaps that person is Guanxuyin Bodhisattva appearing as a professor to speak Dharma for scholars. To start with, you didn't want to study the Buddha Dharma, but he gave you a taste of it and you pursued it. The more you pursued it, the more sense it made. But still, you half believed and half did not. Then you came into contact with genuine Buddhism, got to meditate, listen to lectures, and attend the summer study session. Before you knew it, your half-belief and half-disbelief was reduced to mostly believing and a little bit of not believing. You took refuge with the Triple Jewel and took the precepts, some or all of the 5 precepts, or maybe the 10 major and 48 minor Bodhisattva precepts. All this happened just because of a causal condition. Don't fail to believe this. Guanyin Bodhisattva manifests in many ways. Sometimes, yes, he just appears, speaks the Dharma, and vanishes. At other times, he might not necessarily use his spiritual powers and beam down a transformation body. He may be born in the world as a person, splitting off part of his soul to go to the world to be a person, study the Buddha Dharma, and then teach and transform living beings. He just manifests in that body to teach people. When someone believes in Guanxuyin Bodhisattva and makes offerings and relies on the Bodhisattva's Dharma to cultivate, that person turns into Guanxuyin Bodhisattva, and Guanxuyin Bodhisattva has just gained a transformation body. We say he has thousands of hundreds of koti of transformation bodies. You can imitate him and then become a transformation body of his. There are no fixed dharmas. You shouldn't be attached to things being a certain way. If you want things to be certain, can you arrange to certainly not have to die? If you can definitely not die, then you can have things fixed the way you like them. But if you can't, and you're sure to die, then nothing is fixed. Therefore, there are no fixed dharmas in the Buddha Dharma. There can be millions of transformation bodies. If 100 people imitate you, they are your 100 transformation bodies. If 1,000 people study with you, you have 1,000 transformation bodies. If 10,000 people study with you, learn the doctrines you teach them, and then pass them on to others who in turn accept and cultivate them, you have 10,000 transformation bodies. It's not that hard to have 1,000,000 transformation bodies. All you have to do is to resolve to propagate the Buddha Dharma, and then you will gain limitless transformation bodies. That's speaking of it from the viewpoint of specifics. To speak of it from the viewpoint of principle. If you become a Buddha, you can really transform into a million bodies. So, Guanxuyin Bodhisattva can manifest in the body of Chakra and speak the Dharma. If they must be saved by someone in the body of the God of Sovereignty, he will manifest in the body of the God of Sovereignty and speak Dharma for them. The God of Sovereignty refers to the heavenly demons and adherents to externalist ways. For example, some religions claim they alone are the highest, and they deny the existence of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Why? Because they are too happy and independent. Guanxuyin Bodhisattva doesn't blame them. When he sees their conditions are ripe, he manifests in the body of the God of Sovereignty and speaks the Buddha Dharma to gather them in. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a great heavenly general, he will manifest in the body of a great heavenly general and speak Dharma for them. There are two ways to explain this. You could say this passage refers to a spirit in the heavens who is a great general. You could also say it refers to the gods who have just exhausted their heavenly blessings and are about to fall among human beings to become great generals. Generals may have a lot of authority, but they may not understand the Buddha Dharma. In that case, they may have created a lot of karma and have to undergo various kinds of retribution. Guanxuyin Bodhisattva observes the causes and conditions and, seeing how they can be saved, manifests as a great general and speaks the Dharma to them. They can then return from confusion and go towards enlightenment, put down all worldly happiness to seek transcendental, inexhaustible bliss. If they must be saved by someone in the body of Vaishravana, he will manifest in the body of Vaishravana and speak Dharma for them. Vaishravana is one of the four heavenly kings. He rules over the northern continent of Uttarakura, and his name means much learning. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a minor king, he will manifest in the body of a minor king and speak Dharma for them. A minor king rules over only one country. If they must be saved by someone in the body of an elder, he will manifest in the body of an elder and speak Dharma for them. Elders have respected names and are mature in years. They have virtue and reputation. Their superiors like them, and their subordinates respect them. Elders don't necessarily have to be old. However, they are usually wealthy and honored and have virtue and wisdom. Elders are fair-minded and treat everyone with similar kindness. They like to help people. Since they like to help people, they become known as elders. If someone should be saved by the body of an elder, Guanxuyin Bodhisattva will appear as a great wealthy elder and speak the Dharma for that person. In the Great Compassion Mantra, Guanxuyin Bodhisattva appears as a great awesome looking elder with a long beard. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a layman, He will manifest in the body of a layman and speak Dharma for them. What is a layman? A layman is a person who lives at home and believes in the Buddha Dharma. He keeps the 5 precepts and practices the 10 good deeds. What are the 5 precepts? No killing, no stealing, no sexual misconduct, no lying, and no taking of intoxicants. Now, many of you have taken the 5 precepts and are lay people. The 10 good deeds are the opposite of the 10 evils. Of the 10 evils, 3 involve the body. Killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. 3 involve the mind. Greed, hatred, and stupidity. And 4 involve the mouth. Frivolous speech, false speech, abusive speech, and backbiting. Frivolous speech means talking improperly. Perhaps one talks about men or women, pouring out a lot of irresponsible, deviant, and improper talk. False speech is lying. Abusive speech means scolding and slandering people. Backbiting is when one person has 2 tongues. How can this happen? He talks one way to one person and another way to another person. He gossips back and forth and creates schisms among people. Taken altogether, these are the 10 evils. If you refrain from the 10 evils, you are practicing the 10 good deeds. Not killing, not stealing, and not committing sexual misconduct. Not being greedy, not being hateful, and not being stupid. Not speaking in a frivolous manner, and not indulging in abusive speech, false speech, or backbiting. Those are the 10 good deeds. So lay people should keep the 5 precepts and practice the 10 good deeds. Here, there are many lay people. The Buddhist Lay Society is a place for Buddhist lay people to come together to investigate the Buddha Dharma and protect and support Buddhism. It is the responsibility of lay people to protect the Triple Jewel, to find ways to promote Buddhism so that it grows and flourishes every day. Whereas left-home people have the responsibility of propagating the Buddha Dharma, lay people have the responsibility of supporting the Buddha Dharma and the Triple Jewel. This year in America, people have taken the 5 precepts, the 8 precepts, and the 10 major and 48 minor bodhisattva precepts. The Sharangama Sutra has also been explained. These are all firsts for the West. Each one of you is the first to take precepts and hear the sutras and the Dharma. This makes you founding members of Western Buddhism. We are setting up the Buddhist Lay Society, and I hope it improves and attracts more people every day. Not only the people living in that particular house, but all American lay people can work together and investigate the Buddha Dharma. Guanshuryin Bodhisattva, seeing living beings who should be saved by the body of a layman, will manifest in a layman's body and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a minister of state, a high official, He will manifest in the body of a minister of state and speak Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a Brahmin, he will manifest in the body of a Brahmin and speak Dharma for them. Brahmins are a class in India. They practice pure conduct. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a bhikshu, bhikshuni, upasaka or upasika, he will manifest in the body of a bhikshu, bhikshuni, upasaka or upasika and speak Dharma for them. A bhikshu is a man who has left the home life. Bhikshu is a Sanskrit word which has three meanings. Mendicant, frightener of Mara, and destroyer of evil. A bhikshuni is a woman who has left the home life, and the same three meanings apply. A upasaka is a layman. Upasaka means close in work. Upasakas work very closely with the Triple Jewel, always bowing to the Buddha and listening to the Dharma. An upasika is a laywoman who is close to the Triple Jewel. Upasakas and upasikas serve and protect the Triple Jewel. Guanshuryin Bodhisattva will manifest in one of these four kinds of bodies to save these people, speaking Dharma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of the wife of an elder, of a layman, of a minister of state, or of a Brahmin, he will manifest in a wife's body and speak Dharma for them. Guanyin Bodhisattva will manifest in the body of a woman and speak Dharma. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a pure youth or pure maiden, he will manifest in the body of a pure youth or pure maiden and speak Dharma for them. Must here means that the causes and conditions are such that as a young boy or girl, this living being can understand the Buddha Dharma and cultivate the way. For example, Waito Bodhisattva vowed that in every life he would manifest in the body of a pure youth. The dragon girl also made a vow to manifest in every life as a pure maiden and never marry. Youth here means that they are still innocent and intact. Once one has sexual contact with the opposite sex, one's body is no longer complete. In China, they call this ruining the body. Before one has sexual intercourse, one is a virgin. In Chinese martial arts, there is a practice called virgin skill. When this practice is accomplished, knives or spears cannot harm one. Inwardly, these practitioners smelt their energy, which hasn't been ruined by intercourse, and they reach a level of skill whereby even knives or guns cannot harm them. Outwardly, they smelt their muscles, sinews, skin, and bones. One of my disciples took refuge with me for the sole purpose of studying the skill. I taught him to meditate first, and he did. He had some chan samadhi, but then he started looking into Taoism. He learned how to send a small child out the top of his head, but I don't know how far the small child could go. Lately, he hasn't been practicing. He said his mother wants him to go back to Hong Kong to get married. He has never even seen the girl before, but the official arrangements have already been made. I told him, okay, go and get married. But when you come back, you aren't going to be able to study the virgin skill. He smiled. In Buddhism, young boys and young girls are said to have clean bodies. Young boys belong to the trigram qian, which is yang. Young girls belong to the trigram kun, which is yin. One is pure yang and one is pure yin. This is a very pure, undefiled state in which it's possible for one to succeed in cultivation very quickly. If young children can meditate, they can quickly gain the penetration of the heavenly eye and open their five eyes. To enter the way as a virgin is most valuable. Guanxuyin Bodhisattva observes the causes and conditions, and if he sees someone who is to be crossed over by means of the body of a pure youth or a pure maiden, he will manifest in such a body to speak Dharma for them. He will cause them to bring forth the Bodhi resolve and quickly accomplish the Buddha way. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a heavenly dragon, yaksha, Gandharva, Asura, Garuda, Kinnara, Mahuraga, human or non-human, and so forth, he will manifest in such a body and speak Dharma for them. There are many kinds of dragons. There are dragons in the heavens, dragons in the sea, and treasury-guarding dragons. Heavenly dragons are Dharma protectors in the heavens. Sea dragons live in the dragon palace and are the leaders among all fish and marine life. There are also dragons who are in charge of making rain. There are dragons in charge of guarding treasuries of jewels that are buried in the earth. In the ancient days, there were many, many dragons. Nowadays, people don't see them, so they think they don't exist. Actually, there are many of them. When the great master, 6th patriarch, was in Nanhua Monastery, there was a poisonous dragon who used to spurt out poison. This poison made people sick, and some even died from it. The present-day Chan Hall of Nanhua Monastery was built over what used to be the pool of this poisonous dragon. The surface area of the pool was about 1 mu, about 1/7 acre. Nobody knew how deep it was. This dragon wasn't a good dragon. It was poisonous and hurt people. The left home people at Nanhua Monastery all got sick from it. One time it manifested spiritual penetrations for the 6th patriarch and appeared in a body so big that it filled up the entire pool. When the 6th patriarch saw this, he laughed. "Ha!" he said. "You can manifest in a large body, but I bet you can't manifest in a small body. You're not that talented." Hearing this challenge, the dragon suddenly hid away its large body and manifested in a small one, about 1 foot long, skipping on top of the water. The 6th patriarch said, "Oh, so you do have some talent. You can be big and small, but I bet you can't jump into my bowl here." When the dragon heard this, it jumped right into the 6th patriarch's bowl. "You got into the bowl, but you won't get out," said the 6th patriarch. The dragon tried every trick it had, but it couldn't jump out of the bowl. What a dirty trick! The 6th patriarch said, "Don't be so feisty. How did you turn into a poisonous dragon?" In former lives, you cultivated. You had good roots. You heard the Buddha Dharma, but your hatred was too strong and your temper too big. This is called being quick with the vehicle but slow with the precepts. You investigated the Buddha Dharma very thoroughly, but you didn't keep the precepts, and so you have fallen into the body of a dragon. You shouldn't think that you're so talented just because you can be big or small. Here you are in my bowl and you can't get out. Hearing this, the dragon was subdued. The sixth patriarch then spoke Dharma for it. When it understood the Dharma, it cast off its dragon body. Its little skeleton was preserved at Nanhua Monastery for a long time, but then got lost during the warfare in that area. So that's how the sixth patriarch subdued the poisonous dragon. During the Tang Dynasty, there was a minister by the name of Wei Zong. Although he was an official in the human realm, he was also able to go into the heavens to be a heavenly official. At that time, there was a dragon whom everybody called Little White Dragon. The people asked the dragon to please allow 1.3 inches of rain to fall, but it sent down 1.3 feet of rain, and the crops were totally flooded. This was a violation of the heavenly laws, so they called on Wei Zong to slay Little White Dragon. Little White Dragon knew that Wei Zong was after it, and so it appeared in a dream to the Tang Emperor Taizong and said, "You are a dragon, and I'm also a dragon. You should save me." In Imperial China, the dragon was the symbol of the emperor. The emperor said, "Since we are both dragons, brother, I will certainly help you out. How can I save you?" The dragon said, "I made a mistake with the rain and I let too much fall. Tomorrow I am due to receive my retribution and be killed by your minister, Wei Zong." "Well, that's easy enough to take care of," said the emperor. "He is my minister. I'll just tell him not to kill you. Don't worry." The next day, the emperor called Wei Zong in for a game of chess, thinking that if Wei Zong was occupied playing chess, he wouldn't be able to kill the dragon. They began their game, and around 11 o'clock, Wei Zong fell asleep right in the middle of the game. The emperor was delighted with this because now he certainly couldn't kill the dragon. However, who could have guessed that when Wei Zong was asleep, his spirit left him, went up to the heavens, grabbed his heavenly sword, and killed the dragon. When the spirit came back, Wei Zong woke up, and they continued their chess game. Soon it was past noon, the time after which the dragon would be safe. The emperor was very happy, thinking he had saved his brother and probably created great merit and virtue for himself. Who would have guessed that on that very night, Little White Dragon would return to the emperor, demanding the emperor's life? "You said you were my brother and would save me. Why didn't you? Your minister killed me, and now I want your life. It's just as if you killed me yourself." When the emperor woke up, he was petrified. He told Xu Maogong about it, and Xu Maogong said, "It's not important. There are two people who can stand up to the dragon. They are Qin Qiong, a yellow-faced heavenly general, and Jing De, a black-faced heavenly general. If you can get these two to watch the back door, Little White Dragon won't dare come in." The emperor then ordered the two of them to stand guard at the door, and sure enough, Little White Dragon didn't show up that night. However, the two great generals couldn't watch the door at night forever. It was too exhausting. So pictures of them were painted and pasted outside the back door, and the dragon stayed away. At New Year's, Chinese people used to put up their pictures beside the doors to keep the demons and ghosts away. Dragons became dragons because they were quick with the vehicle and slow with the precepts. They cultivated and were very intelligent. They mastered the Buddha Dharma right away, but they didn't keep the precepts. Since they were quick with the vehicle, they have spiritual powers and can transform themselves. But because they didn't keep the precept, they have fallen into the bodies of animals. Dragons are animals, you know. Yakshas are speedy ghosts. They can run faster than rockets. Gandharvas are musical spirits. They like to sniff incense and make music. When the Jade Emperor wishes to hear music, he burns some chelan incense or chandana incense, and all the Gandharvas gather to make music. Asuras are the ugly ones who love to fight. One of my disciples knows his dog is an Asura. Many dogs are Asuras. Horses can be Asuras too. The feisty horses or mavericks who like to make trouble in the herds are Asuras. Bulls are Asuras out front. Look at the horns on their heads, put there just to fight. Bulls are Asuras who used to wear iron helmets. When they get reborn as animals, they remember that they had those weapons on their heads, and so they end up with two horns. Chickens and roosters can also be Asuras. The roosters are always fighting with each other. Some insects, such as crickets, who fight to the death with each other are Asuras. During the Song Dynasty, it was very popular to stage cricket fights. People would bet on them. Any other animal who likes to fight, such as snakes, mice, cats, and so forth, are Asuras. Asura is a Sanskrit word and means ugly. Asuras are hideous. Their lips are as big as a pig's. Their noses are as long as an elephant's. They have eyes like oxen and little ears like mice. They are ugly. Perhaps they have a person's body and a pig's head, or a person's body and an ox's head, or a horse's head, or a tiger's head. But while the male Asuras are very ugly, the female Asuras are very beautiful. As I have told you many times before, the Asura king had a beautiful daughter named Shachi, to whom the Jade Emperor became engaged. Why did he want to marry her? The Jade Emperor still has a body with thoughts of desire. Because he has not severed thoughts of sexual desire, he likes beautiful women. One day, catching sight of the beautiful Asura girl, he became enamored of her and asked the Asura king for his daughter's hand in marriage. After they were married, the Jade Emperor liked to listen to an immortal speak Dharma. Because he went to the lectures every day, the Asura girl soon grew suspicious. He goes out every day and never gets home until late at night. Most likely, he's out playing around with other women. Finally, she confronted him. Just where do you go every day? You wouldn't be conducting some improper business on the side, would you? No, said the Jade Emperor. I go to the lectures on the sutras every day, and that's why I'm always home late. You shouldn't be suspicious. The Asura girl, not believing he was going to the sutra lectures, decided he must certainly be up to no good. She asked to go along, but the Jade Emperor wouldn't allow it. Now, she had a certain amount of spiritual power and was able to make herself invisible. So, one day when, as usual, the Jade Emperor got into his chariot and headed for the lecture, the Asura girl made herself invisible and rode along. Upon arriving, the Jade Emperor got out of his chariot and so did the Asura girl. Then she materialized. What are you doing here? Asked the surprised Jade Emperor. I've come to see what you're up to. I don't really believe you're coming to listen to Dharma, she retorted. The Jade Emperor, in a fury, picked up his cane and struck his wife. The Asura girl let out a shriek, and guessed what happened. The immortal, who had never heard the sound of a woman's voice before, was so enchanted by the Asura girl's lovely voice that he gave rise to thoughts of desire and could not continue speaking Dharma. The Jade Emperor was even more enraged, and he scolded his wife roundly. This so infuriated the Asura girl that she went directly to her father. Previously, when the Jade Emperor was about to be married, he had invited the Asura King to a heavenly banquet. After the meal was over, as a gesture of respect to his new father-in-law, he sent out his generals and troops to see him off. However, the Asura King felt intimidated and was displeased at the Jade Emperor's show of power. Now his daughter returned with the report that the Jade Emperor was not following the rules at all. Every day he goes out with other women, the Asura girl said. And today, when I tried to talk to him about it, he struck me. At this, the Asura King became enraged. No wonder he tried to intimidate me at the banquet. He really has no respect for me or my daughter. Then he mobilized the Asura troops against the Jade Emperor. Strangely enough, the Jade Emperor lost battle after battle and could find no way to overcome the Asura King. Finally, he had no recourse but to ask the Buddha for help. The Buddha told him to instruct his troops all to recite Maha Prajna Paramita. As they went into battle, they recited the phrase Maha Prajna Paramita, and the Asuras lost battle after battle until they were completely vanquished. That's the story of the Asuras and the heavenly troops. Now, the Asuras have come into the world, and so there is fighting and conflict everywhere. Anyone who has a bad temper can turn into an Asura, or perhaps even be one right now. If you can change your temper and cultivate patience, you can stay out of the path of Asuras.